Number one, I will make you a great nation. Number two, I will bless you. Number three, I will make your name great. Number four, you shall be a blessing. Number five, I will bless those who bless you. Number six, the one who curses you, I will curse. Number seven, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed.
The promises God made to Abraham are promises we as Christians will see fulfilled as well. And today on the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green will begin detailing those promises for us as he continues the series, Foundations, A Survey of Genesis. Hi, I'm Bill Wright. And Don, the blessings promised to Abraham really are multidimensional, aren't they?
Well, my friend, thanks for being with us today on the Truth Pulpit. Maybe you've never really studied the book of Genesis to see the full implications of the promises that God made to Abraham. We're going to carry these things out today, and they are wonderful and magnificent. God blessed Abraham as an individual. He blessed his descendants to become a nation. And now through that nation, through the great final seed of Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is bringing blessing to all of the world. This is magnificent truth from Scripture that we're going to study today on the Truth Pulpit.
Thanks, Don. And friend, with your Bible open to Genesis 12, let's join our teacher now in the Truth Pulpit.
What you see here in Genesis chapter 12, you see God calling out Abram. You're seeing that right from the very foundation of redemptive history, that principle of separation from family and country is something that is central to the very nature of the call. And so it shouldn't surprise us when we meet with opposition. It shouldn't surprise us when people who once were our friends are now alienated and hostile toward us. This is the nature of what it means to be called out by God and to follow Him in a world that rebels against Him. If you think about it at all, you'd realize that it would have to be the case if salvation truly is a call out of the world, and if the world is hostile and in rebellion to God, if we align ourselves with that God, if we align ourselves with that Christ, we should expect that the hostility that the world is always directing toward God is suddenly directed toward us as well. Jesus said, "If they persecute me, they will persecute you also." And so the fact that there is hostility in some of your family relationships based on your faith in Christ is not a sign that you're doing something wrong. It's a sign that the spiritual life in you is real. And so we're encouraged by that, even though we're saddened by the loss of the human relationship. Well, going back to verse 2, God starts to lay out these promises, and this is what we're really going to look at in verses 2 and 3. He says, "I will make you a great nation." And there's really seven promises here that are in these three verses. And we're going to look at them one by one. Number one, I will make you a great nation. Number two, I will bless you. Number three, I will make your name great. Number four, you shall be a blessing. Number five, I will bless those who bless you. Number six, the one who curses you, I will curse. Number seven, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. God here is calling Abram out of paganism to be his chosen recipient of vast blessing. Blessings that are continuing for millennia now since they were first made. And he makes these seven promises to Abram, and he says that I am setting in motion a plan to bless the entire world through you. And so the magnitude of what we're reading is betrayed by the simplicity and the shortness of the words that are used to express it. But look there at the end of verse 3, how broad, how vast what God is saying here is, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. This is vast and comprehensive that extends far beyond Abraham in its implications. What did God promise? Let's just unpack it a little bit one by one. First of all, a great nation. God promises to bring a great nation out of Abraham. There in verse 2, he says, "I will make you a great nation. And as you read through the rest of the Bible, you see that God fulfilled that promise. The nation of the Jews who descended from Abram did become great. They became a numerically great people in Egypt, so much so that they were a threat to Pharaoh, and he had to oppress them in order to keep them in subjugation. They became a politically great people under King David and Solomon in the years that followed. And the true greatness of that line of Abram is found in the fact that redemption comes through that nation. As we said last time, 2 weeks ago, we received the scriptures from the Jews. Jesus Christ, the only Savior of the world, was a descendant of Abraham. No other ethnic group can make such a claim. No other ethnic group can claim to be true recipients of the revelation of God. No other ethnic group can claim to be the one that gave birth to the Messiah through a woman, not through the seed of a man. But there you have it, a great nation, a numerically great nation, a politically great nation, although they squandered their opportunity in sin, and a redemptively great nation. And so God promises to make Abram a great nation, and we see multiple ways in which that was fulfilled. And so there's the first aspect of it, and we'll look at this more a little bit next week as well, when we talk about the consequences of these promises. Right now, I just want you to see them in an overview fashion. Well, what else did God promise Abraham, or Abram? We're going to use that interchangeably. His new name, Abraham, hasn't been given to him yet, but I'll sometimes slip and refer to him that way. In verse 2, we see, secondly, that God promises a great blessing to him. He says simply, "I will bless you." And God kept this promise as well. Abraham met with material success. Look over at chapter 13, verse 1. Chapter 13, verse 1. Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev, he and his wife and all that belonged to him, and Lot with him. And in verse 2, now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And so, materially speaking, God blessed Abram. And then, beyond that, God blessed him spiritually as well. Look at chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." And so God is repeating his promise to bless him and to give him a great reward. And how did this play out? Verse 2, Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me, since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." And then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir." And he took him outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Verse 6, then he believed in the Lord, and he, meaning God, reckoned it to him as righteousness. Abraham was declared righteous. He was justified by faith in the promise of God. And so here he is. He's a very rich man. He's promised a very great realm of descendants. And on top of that, God brings him to spiritual salvation. And this pagan is now seen as righteous in the presence of God. How greatly blessed he is, just as you get to Genesis 15. And then as you continue reading on in the rest of the scripture, and you see his descendants multiply and his name remembered, even to this day, we're talking about him in recognition of what Scripture says and how he has been blessed. We see this great blessing that God has poured out on this man. Now, to just step back from that and to have a little sense of perspective on it, you start to realize, and this starts to call your attention to the fact that, okay, this is someone in Scripture that I need to pay attention to. This is someone that needs to be followed, and see how God follows through on this. Because God's promises to Abraham did not die when Abraham did. God was looking beyond Abraham when he was making these promises to him, wasn't he? When he says, I'm going to give you multiplied descendants, when he says, I'm going to make a great nation of you, he was looking beyond the life of Abraham when he was promising this blessing. And so we start to see some aspects about the nature of God and the plan of God, in that as you read the Scriptures, we should be understanding and reading it from a perspective that God had a plan that he was working out. God was not a responder to human developments, as the open theist would try to have us say, and God is kind of learning as we are, as events unfold. God had a plan in advance, and when he told Abraham, I'm going to bless you, he already knew what he was going to do. He knew the end from the beginning. And so we see this unfolding. We realize the sovereign power of God to keep his promises. And so we are drawn to this passage in Genesis 12 and say, here's the beginning of something great. Let's trace it through redemptive history. And so, a great nation, a great blessing. Look at verse 2 again. We come thirdly to the fact that God says, I will make your name great. How great is Abraham's name? Well, look at Genesis chapter 26, verse 24. Genesis chapter 26, verse 24. What does God himself say about this man? Here he's speaking to Isaac in Genesis 26. The Lord appeared to Isaac the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. God affirms the name of Abraham to his son and declares him to be his servant. There's a special sense, a special recognition of the name of Abraham. As God speaks and continues the promises to Isaac, he says, this man Abraham was my servant. But there's more to it than that as you read through the rest of the Scriptures. Turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if you would. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 7, where King Jehoshaphat is praying. And let's start in verse 6. He says, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, so that no one can stand before you. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham? Here it is, your friend. Abraham is called the friend of God. He's called the servant of God. What a distinguished position for him to have in the course of Revelation to be recognized in this way. Look over at the prophet Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41, verse 8, where you see this term used again. God is speaking now. And we'll read a couple of extra verses because the context is encouraging to us. God here now is promising coming redemption to Israel. He says in verse 8, you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, descendant of Abraham, my friend. If you're a true Christian, you would love to know that God thought of you in that manner, to have God declare you to be his friend. And so Abraham is distinguished as being the friend of God. What a great name given to this man. Verse 9, as God continues to speak to the nation, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its remotest parts and said to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you and not rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Where that promise flows from, this promise that God makes to his nation Israel, is traced back to the fact that they were the seed of Abraham. They were the descendant of Abraham, my friend. God, who made promises to Abraham, continuing on promises to his people, don't fear, I'm with you, I will strengthen you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so you just see this great name of Abraham, God's friend, and the friendship is so great that it perpetuates down through generations. Again, manifesting not the greatness of Abraham, but the greatness of the promise-keeping God who called him. Look over at James in the New Testament, James chapter 2. You almost get the sense that God can't get Abraham off of his mind because he's so woven through Scripture. And in verse 23, it says, James chapter 2, verse 23, the Scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. The name of Abraham is set apart in Scripture. He's called God's servant. He's called, indicating his loyalty and his obedience to God. He's called the friend of God, indicating his intimacy with God. And so you see this great name given to Abraham, and God has kept his promise. You know, there's another way that you can measure this as well. In the three major religions of the world today, you look at the Jews, you look at the Muslims, you look at the Christians, not to equate them in truth, but simply to acknowledge the fact that all three of those would hold Abraham in high esteem. So to this day, even in the world, his name is held in high regard by people who otherwise have very little in common. The name of Abraham is looked upon highly. And so, obviously we're just kind of surveying this very quickly. God promises a great nation from Abraham. He promises a great blessing to Abraham. And he promises a great name for Abraham. And so there are just blessings and promises abounding everywhere as you consider what God said to Abram in Genesis chapter 12. Let's go back there now and look at a fourth aspect of the promises. A great nation, a great blessing, a great name. Look at what it says here at the end of verse 2 now, when he says, and so you shall be a blessing. Fourth promise, you shall be a blessing. It's not just that Abraham was going to be a receptacle, a receiver of the blessing of God. God was going to communicate blessing to others through the life of Abraham. How distinct, how set apart he was to be used by God. The Hebrew here at the end of verse 2 is also translated, can also be translated as an imperative, you be a blessing. The point is that God blessed Abraham so that he would be a conduit of blessing to others as well. And so, where do we see this? Look over at Genesis chapter 14, just seeing this played out in the life of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 14, there's a war among kings, and Lot, Abram's nephew, is taken captive in verse 12. He and his possessions were taken captive, and then in verse 13, a fugitive came and told Abram the Hebrew. Now, he was living by the oaks of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and these were allies with Abram. And when Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he led out his trained men, born in his house, 318, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. He brought back all the goods and also brought back his relative Lot with his possessions and also the women and the people. And so Lot is captive. Abram becomes a source of blessing by delivering him from that captivity. Turn over to Genesis chapter 21. As you know, Sarah, his wife, is barren. And yet, through Abram, she is given a son. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. Then the Lord took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of the son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in his old age? Sarah, who was barren, was joyful and full of laughter because she had the child that had been withheld from her, coming through the loins of Abraham. And so Abraham is a blessing to his family. He's a blessing to his nephew. And he makes provision even to find a wife for his son Isaac in Genesis chapter 24. We won't bother to turn there. You remember how he sent out one of his servants, and the servant went and found a bride for Isaac. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond his immediate family. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, let's say. We could go to a couple of different places. But in Hebrews chapter 11, we see that Abraham is a blessing even to us today. Because in the New Testament, In the New Testament, where not here in Hebrews 11, but elsewhere in Scripture, it says the things that were written in former times were written for our instruction so that through the encouragement of Scriptures we might have hope. That's in Romans 15. Well, here in Hebrews chapter 11, you see the writer of Hebrews giving encouragement to the New Testament saint, saying, look back at how the people of the Old Testament walked and find instruction, find encouragement for your own walk of faith. And so he says in Hebrews 11, verse 8, he says, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And it talks about Sarah in verses 11 and 12, and actually turn to verse 12. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead as that. As many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And so you see Scripture using Abraham to instruct us, in the New Testament era. You see what happened to Abraham when he obeyed God and went out not knowing where he was going. Look at the way that God blessed him and multiplied the goodness and the graciousness that he showed in his life in ways that Abraham never could have calculated. He says, there is abundant blessing in obeying God by faith. And the point is, for the New Testament saint, is that this is what we are supposed to see, to look at, and to be encouraged. So that when we walk into times of seeming darkness, when we're not sure where obedience to God is going to lead us, when you're not sure where the providence of God is going to take you in your health, in your family, in your uncertainty of life, Scripture says, one of the places that you go is you look back at Abraham and see how God blessed his faithful obedience. And be encouraged to realize that God, who was faithful to Abraham, will be faithful to you. And so someone else has gone on this path before you. You can follow in his footsteps and be encouraged by it. The life of Abraham becomes a blessing even to us today.
Today on the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green has detailed the first four of seven promises God made to Abraham to make him a great nation, to bless him, make his name great, and to make him a blessing. Our teacher will look at the final three promises on our next broadcast, and we hope you'll be with us. Right now, though, Don's back here in studio with some closing words.
You know, friend, we realize that you may not be close enough to our church to be able to join us as you would like to on any given Sunday. So let me invite you to join us on our live stream that you can find at our website, Sundays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And also, we have a midweek service on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. We would love to have you join us in that way. A lot of people do. You might as well be one more that join us for those special studies of God's Word and our church services on Sundays and Tuesdays. Here's Bill with some final information to help you find us.
Just visit thetruthpulpit.com, where you can also learn more about podcasts and free CDs of Don's teaching. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time for more from The Truth Pulpit.